Please be seated, everybody. God bless you all. Blessed to be back here again. I don't have any gray hairs now, do I? No? I've joined the 30s club. A lot of you have been, the past few years, well, I've joined the 70s club, so hopefully I haven't aged you a little bit. I apologize. But no, I'm so blessed. This group is actually called Ernie Haas and Signature Sound, and of course the Gaithers. Many of you have had wonderful exposure to their wonderful harmonies, and it makes me think. It's been many years ago, but my father over there, he's just so instrumental in introducing us to this group called the Statler Brothers. Just the blending of those voices, and just kind of makes you think about things that have happened over the years. So, believe it or not, the other day as I hit my 30th year living on this earth, I was walking by the bay, and all of a sudden this gush of memories just came rushing through my head. My goodness, Lord, what are you trying to get me to think here? I mean, highlights. I've got a few highlights that just really stand out, but I was born on the 28th of March, 1995, and I work with students that were born in the early 2000s. Never thought I'd see the day. But you know what? I, in all honesty, I'm just so blessed and thankful to the Father and many of you who have been instrumental in my walk with the Father and my growth. It's just nothing like it. But you know, our ministry, as I look back over the years, our ministry has gone through many times, many seasons, and many changes. Formed in 1996, it still stands today with saints that have quite literally stood the test of time and have planted themselves firmly on the ground. And I must say that the memories that still hold true to my heart are the times where believers from far and wide would gather together for an extended period of time and worship the Creator of the heavens and the earth through music, testimonies, sharings, all sorts of wonderful things. And most recently in 2022, we all got together with a bunch of other believers around the country to celebrate one of the most prolific teachers of God's Word I can ever think of, Reverend Ken Petty himself. Over 50 seminars that he has taught alone. Imagine that. But I want to start this morning with a quote by someone who most of you refer to as your father in the Word. He was actually Ken's father in the Word, I would say. And a man who taught the Scriptures, I believe we still stand upon that, like 2 Timothy talks about in verse 2. And now the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I see my life beyond today and tomorrow. I see my life from generation to generation, causing the mystery to be lived. History has honored great men and women throughout time for their deeds, for their contributions to society. They have conquered for the scientific. Oh, do we have to do a little change here? Okay, we're back. We're back. Sorry about that, folks, on the conference call. We had a little microphone change. But I wanted to start with a quote this morning by a man who taught the scriptures, and I'm sure you'll get blessed by this. I see my life beyond today and tomorrow. I see my life from generation to generation, causing the mystery to be lived. History has honored great men and women throughout time for their deeds, for their contributions to society, for the nations they have conquered, for the scientific discoveries they have made, for the contests they have won. Those achieving the highest distinction, medals hung around their necks, parades held in their honor, buildings named after them, and recognition of halls of fame. A far greater honor remains, however, than the awards and accolades men can bestow. The highest authority decrees the greatest homage. God Almighty will confer the crowns of highest award to those who have truly distinguished themselves in His eyes when they stand before Him someday. In that day, men will not be decorated for winning military battles, building empires, saving the environment, or winning ball games. Our God has reserved His esteemed tribute for those individuals who have disciplined and dedicated themselves to rightly dividing the word of truth, and who have sacrificed their lives to serve the bread of life to mankind. He also commands His people today to likewise give honor to whom honor is due. According to Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their dues tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That's a pretty high standard. I think that's the reason that we're still standing here today. It's not an easy task to remain in an environment that goes through constant changes almost constantly. As people have come and gone, we ourselves have lost friends and family, and we ourselves have gone through illnesses and, you know, all sorts of different struggles and other physical ailments, but yet here we are. We still love God, we love one another, we love His Word, and we do our best day by day to take a stand with our feet firmly on the ground with what we've been taught. So what I'd like to share this morning, I've entitled, The Word of God Lives On. And many of you have grown up in what a lot of people might refer to as the baby boomer generation. And you've had remarkable exposure to the greatness of God's Word. And at many times I find myself nearly wishing I was part of that generation as well. I mean, rich foundational classes, being surrounded by the great giants in the Word, such as Dr. Worwell. And I'm not disparaging anybody in particular by any means. I mean, these guys right here, Barney and Vicki Barnhart, Alan Shaughty, Segovia, Jan, my folks back there, on and on and on the list goes. Every single one of you are still here today. And I've heard many stories about things like going out as WOW ambassadors, attending the Rock of Ages, and I hear how those things have had an impact on your lives. And it's truly inspiring, but I really wish I was part of that. But here I am, and I wouldn't trade it for $1 million. It's like Bob mentioned last week. I would rather go to my grave ministering to the saints than have all the riches in the world. You know, I think it's reasonable to say that we've all asked the inevitable question, what comes next? Well, what do we do when we live in a world that continues to change, political environment, the cultural climate? We ourselves go through different types of changes. You know, when time moves forward and those we looked up to have maybe moved on or perhaps fallen asleep, what do we do? What's next? Well, you know, I really think the answer is quite simple, but powerful. We keep standing. We keep believing. We keep declaring that the word of our God shall stand forever, as it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Because the truth at the end of the day will always prevail, and the truth will always be the truth. It stood firm when we first believed, and it will stand firm for the generations after us, because God's word is eternal. In Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." You know, God's word is not just preserved through the ink on the page. It speaks through us. Jesus said in John 14:23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." The word becomes alive when it's held in the hearts of the believers. And when we live it, speak it, and share it, the word of God moves forward. It lives on. And because we ourselves, we are not just hearers of the word, we're doers. We are carriers of this truth. Whether you've been in the word or involved in the ministry for all 29 years or beyond, or just 4 months, or just one day, I would say the calling is just the same as it ever was. Psalm 145, verse 4. I'm just going to read these to you. Got them here. "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts." That means you and I are part of something completely eternal. And that's why Paul encouraged Timothy and us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season," and then the verse goes on. We're going to look at that in just a few minutes. But this charge didn't stop with the apostles. It wasn't only for the early church. It's ours now. And it's your ministry, it's your voice, it matters. You may not realize this, but your sphere of influence goes far beyond this room. Not just the people here, people you work with, your extended family members, your neighbors, your coworkers, if you're not retired, that is. Many, many people who your lives touch. Because the Word of God is not just living history. It's living power. Hebrews 4:12, as we just quoted, "For the word of God is quick, or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the purpose of the word is so that the man of God may be fully furnished unto all good works." Praise the Father for that. But that means it's still working. The Word of God is still alive as it ever was thousands of years ago. It's still healing. It's still delivering people from darkness. And if you've ever wondered what your life is supposed to be about, well, I would say it's this right here. That's why we're all sitting here today, you and I. And here's the encouragement for today. I want to read to you 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, and that says, "The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So what's next? Go back to that question. Well, we keep going. We keep building. We stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. We stretch out our hands towards those that are coming after us. We declare boldly, the word of God lives on. And you know what else? The word just doesn't live on because we speak it. It lives because God himself watches over it. It's not our job to make it powerful because it already is. I was so fascinated when Bob Cardin was here. He said, he made a comment. He goes, "The word of God does not need to be defended, because it's the truth. And the truth rarely has to be defended." I just got to find that fascinating. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." Yeah, that means God is watching over us and his word, and he's inspiring us to really fulfill it, because not one promise has ever failed, and not one truth has lost its weight. The word of God lives on because he lives on. So if you're sitting here today, maybe wondering if your standstill matters, it does. And if you've ever been quietly faithful, continuing to show up, staying in the scriptures, even when it gets hard, that is the walk of a true believer. And God sees that. He knows our hearts, and he honors them. So, here we are, one body with many members in particular, one heart beating together, because we're not just preserving, it's not like a tradition here. Something that is so powerful, so beyond our own comprehension. And yeah, you could say we're passing forward a torch. We're carrying on the torch. And as long as there is breath in our lungs and the love of God remains in our hearts, we will keep that light burning. Another question that I think is very important is this: what is it that we are really passing on to the future generations? As you know, my generation, a new set of challenges have really risen to the surface, if you will. I would say technology has advanced greatly, and in this day and age, technology sure has a lot to do with it, but we move forward. We live this great mystery that was hid by God himself for many generations. And we live this mystery that was revealed to Paul and then made available to mankind for the very first time on the day of Pentecost. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We're actually going to flip there. Wonderful. Ephesians chapter 3, I apologize. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 2 here. It says, "If you have heard of the dispensation or the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, which given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Now, I can't really tell you how many times the word grace was used in this section, but it seems to be a predominant theme here. But I can tell you however, God really poured something out on the day of Pentecost. And that began this administration that you and I are partaking in right now, this administration of grace. And many records talk about that, right? The great mystery that God kept a secret for many ages and generations. 1 Peter, Romans 16, and other various records. But perhaps one of the most common sections is Colossians chapter 1. Shall we take a look at it? I think so. Why not? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Such a powerful section of scriptures here, though. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I love this section of God's word because it really spells out very clearly how significant this great mystery really is. And is this something that we should be passing down to future generations? Is it important? Oh, yeah. I know that's kind of a rhetorical question, but it really does make you think about our own personal examples of living out these wonderful truths. But I think it's safe to say that, you know, we've all learned about the fact that leading by example is many times the greatest teacher. Because as we're reminded time and time again in the Old Testament, that the lessons of the Scriptures are vitally important to teach and to share. And look at Psalm 78:4, which says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." Now, currently I'm working with my students, right, finishing up a teacher's credentialing program, and this kind of a thing makes me think. Currently I'm teaching them about the works of William Shakespeare, and one of the things I tell them is that Shakespeare's plays were not meant to be read. They weren't meant to be read. Just like the Word of God, I would say the Word of God is not meant to just be simply read. It's meant to be lived out, put into action, and passed down to future generations. Because if not, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, Christ is still going to come back at some point in time. I wanted to close out this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 4. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I have to admit, sometimes in the past, you know, as one of the youngest folks in this room, in the past, not currently, but in the past, I've got to say, I've sometimes been intimidated by those who were older than I am and have been in the Word a lot longer. Kind of made me feel like I was less spiritual in a way. But then I read this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Well, that time of life didn't last long. But here's Paul in this verse writing to Timothy, who he considered to be his son in the word, so to speak. We'll go on here in verse 13. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then in verse 15, it says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What doctrine is Paul talking about here? Doctrine of the mystery, the one body, members in particular, Christ in you, your identification, your sonship rights, the renewed mind, the hope of Christ's return, and on it goes. These are all things that are wrapped up in that package of grace in our day and time. The great mystery revealed, the church of the one body of Christ, such incredible stuff. But I'm reminded of that powerful statement. I see my life beyond today and tomorrow. I see my life from generation to generation causing the mystery to be lived. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being our Father. It's what powerful things we have as a result of being born again of your Spirit. And I don't think any of us really have the words to really express our thankfulness and our gratitude, Father, but we're gathered here this morning and it's just a fraction of the one body of Christ, as I always say. I lift up to you each heart here this morning that you just give us the strength, both physically and spiritually, Father, to keep going. So none of us are retiring just yet. I pray for these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and they all said, amen. God bless you.